Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me to the book of Daniel. We continue to look at heroes because we want to see and be God's hero. We'll be looking at Daniel for the next several weeks, and I would ask that you find not only Daniel chapter 1, but find this piece of paper entitled, Like Daniel, Dare to Be Different. I'm holding in my hand a very special gadget. Some of you call it the clicker. It's a remote control. I love it. I mean, even when I pick it up, that television remote control, I sense this surge of power coming into my hand. Have you lost yours lately? Have you ever put it down? Maybe it gets buried in the couch or somebody carries it off. One time our grandchild stole it. That was a problem. Because when you can't find it, what begins to arise, this flush of frustration. Now you're going to have to get up and walk all the way over to the TV to change the channel. You see, remote controls are very, very good because they make you feel in control. Because we don't like to feel out of control, do we? I want to ask you a question. Would you fill in this blank? Do you feel out of control today? You see, friends, life does not come with the remote control, does it? I wish it did. I wish if you were having a problem with your money, all of a sudden you could click a button and change it over to the Prosperity Channel. And all your bills are paid. You got lots of everything you need. But life doesn't come with a remote control. Instead, we live in a fallen world. Difficulties come our way. And how you respond to those difficulties make all the difference. You see, in a way, you can change the channel of your attitude. When a difficulty comes your way, you can either grow very discouraged and defeated, or you can become very defiant and say, life is a jip, God is not real, I'm going to turn my back on the things of the Lord and walk away. Or instead of becoming defeated or defiant, you can get dependent. That's what God wants. He wants difficulties to drive you to the knees, drive you to the foot of His cross, drive you to follow Him in intimacy, in love. That's what God wants. And you see, we'll see that picture today in Daniel, because for Daniel, life was out of control. And maybe you can sense that. We have terrible things that happen in this fallen world. There have been earthquakes in Italy and Myanmar, fires in California, floods in Louisiana. How would you like to live in Louisiana right now? Matter of fact, that is Denham Springs, Louisiana. They received 40 inches of rain. Still, 110,000 people are displaced in that area. And it's estimated that only 11% of the people have flood insurance. So many of them are wiped out. Do you think they feel out of control today? Now, we've got a group down there led by David Martin. His Sunday school class said, we're going to do something about it. We're not going to just talk about it. We're going to do something about it. And so David and his group went down to mud out a church so that it can become the central staging area for the disaster relief people who come in and then go to the homes. Because if you don't get these homes dried out quickly, the mold sets in and virtually makes them uninhabitable. So this is very time sensitive. And I'm telling you, that could be us, that could be me, that could be you, feeling out of control. One lady just simply said, and David interviewed her, she said, everything in my house, everything in my world is broken. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you've had a broken car or a broken appliance. Have you had a broken heart? A broken rebellious child? A broken set of dreams? Things just didn't turn out the way you thought they would. It's easy to feel out of control. Well, today we want to unfurl a special banner over this service, and I want you to read it with me, because when you feel out of control, here's the great good news. God is in control. Amen? He's in control. He's still on the throne. He's not surprised. There's never been an emergency meeting of the Trinity wringing their hands and saying, oh no, what's happened in Jay's life? I think it's irretrievable. God is in control. And so what does he want from us? Dependence. And here is the way you create it. Read with me on your worksheet, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, come with me to Daniel chapter 1, because today we see this modeled in the life of Daniel. He was not conformed to his world. Instead, he was transformed by God's truth. You see, Babylon did not change Daniel. Daniel changed Babylon. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us in this moment see a picture of what you can do if we will refuse to be conformed to the corrupt world that we live in and instead be transformed by your word. Father, help us resist the temptations of our culture and the compromise that is offered to us every day to be polluted, but instead we want to stand purely with you and be your agents of love, serving in purity in this broken world. Get me out of the way, Father. Speak now your truth through your word, and let your spirit deposit that truth that transforms in every receptive heart. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. Let's come to Daniel chapter 1, and we'll look at the first 8 verses. But let me give you a bit of background. You see, the year is 600 BC. The children of Israel have been conquered, and the choice servants have been carried into Babylonian captivity, and there they will be reprogrammed so that they will be loyal to a new government, a new king. And I want you to learn how Daniel resisted the vice grip of his culture, and instead he stood for Christ. He did not let Babylon change him. Daniel changed Babylon. So let's begin with number 1. Please make this note. Would you please make this note? Don't give in. Be resistant. You see, here's our goal. In a sinful world, you want to stand faithfully for God. And the first step is this simple. Don't give in. Let's learn from Daniel how that you don't give in, but instead, you are to be resistant. Let's begin here in Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, young people in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking Hebrew hunks. Well, doesn't say that, but anyway, that's what they were. Who were intelligent in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding. They had discerning knowledge, who had ability to serve in the king's court. He ordered them to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food, from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated for 3 years, and at the end of those 3 years, they would enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah. There was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. To Daniel, he assigned the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Now here's the pivotal verse. Verse 8 is everything. This is our goal. make this your quest. Look at verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. In other words, Daniel made a decision, and that decision determined his destiny, and you have that same opportunity today. You can make a decision today that will change the way the rest of your life unfolds. You see, that's the power that God has given us as we start with a decision. And I want to urge you to make up your mind like Daniel did. Make a decision to be resistant to the corrupt forces of our culture and our world. Now, here's what's happening. Daniel is this really outstanding young man. He's a four-star recruit. They bring him to Babylon to be a potential servant in the king's house, but they've got to reprogram him. They're going to reprogram him to give him a new language. They show him new literature because they want him to have a new lifestyle so he'll develop a new loyalty to the king. They even change his name. Did you know that the name Daniel means God judges? God judges. In other words, I'm accountable to the living God. But they changed his name to Belshazzar. Do you know what Belshazzar means? Prince of Baal. Prince of Baal. That would be like me saying, hey, Kenny, we're going to give Donna Holmes a new name. Instead of Donna, we're going to call her Jezebel. Oh, how do you like that, Donna? From now on, you answer to Jezebel. That's who you are. Prince of a pagan deity. So they were reprogramming Daniel at his core, because they wanted him to develop no longer a loyalty to the living Lord, but to a corrupt political system. And he refused it. It says in verse 8 that he would not be squeezed into the world's mold. Now, whenever you come to a point of change, like something new, you're especially susceptible to being squeezed into the world's mold. Like, for instance, when you start a new school, when you enter a new season of your life, a new job, maybe when you retire. Oh, there are seasons that squeeze you. The classic example would be the young person who's been at home and they go off to college. Now, how many times have you seen young people who are just solid in the Lord, they go off to college and they lose their faith and they go off the deep end? I cannot tell you how many stories I have like that. Now, fortunately, we have a lot of kids in this church who are rooted and grounded in the Lord, and they go off to college and they grow in Christ and they become champions for Christ. But we all know examples that are the opposite. I'll tell you a quick story. A number of years ago, there was an outstanding young man. He was in our youth group, in our youth choir, went on youth choir mission tours, a leader, and he went off to a school, and the school started with the letter A. And it wasn't Arizona. It wasn't Arkansas. It was in this neighborhood. Super fine young man. I mean, outstanding. He was a Daniel, four-star recruit. He goes off and, man, the new season of life is like he's entered foreign territory and he starts to be reprogrammed. And he develops new language and a new lifestyle. And all of a sudden, he's a fraternity boy. And he has new pals and he's meeting new gals. And he's introduced to new things to smoke and new things to drink and a new way to think. And the next thing you know, this guy who went off with a 33 on his ACT, a full ride, full scholarship, headed to medical school, in a year he is back home and he is beaten and he is broken and he's lost his scholarship and skipped medical school. He's just trying to survive. You see, he went off to a foreign territory, and instead of changing Babylon, Babylon changed him. Where does it all start? You got to pre-decide. Look at verse 8. It starts with a decision. It starts with a commitment. And here's what Daniel decided to do. He decided to be committed to the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. That's the key. Be committed to God's standard. I have on your worksheet John 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You see, before you make a choice, listen for God's voice. Let me give you a great illustration of this that I discovered in the Olympics. It's from the life of Sam Kendricks. Sam Kendrick won an Olympic gold medal. He was a pole vaulter from Mississippi. He's an Army reservist. And do you know Sam's story? He was getting ready to go charging down the lane and jump. And all of a sudden, what did he hear but the national anthem being played? Now, in track and field, there's a lot of activity in the middle of that field. But he heard the national anthem. This was on national television. He came to a screeching stop. He dropped the pole, and he came to full attention because his national anthem for his country was being played. You see, he had his ear tuned to hear his national anthem. And because he was a patriot, he came to attention. He stopped what he was doing. By the way, he went on to win the bronze medal. What a winner. Now let me ask you this, like Sam Kendrick, in this world of a lot of choices, do you hear God's voice? Don't make the wrong choice, and the way you do it is you know the Word of God. Let me ask you this, like Sam, is there anything that you need to stop so that you can please Christ? Is there an activity that you need to stop, a habit that you need to stop, a relationship that you need to stop because they are pulling you away from the things of God so that you can be all that God wants you to be? I would urge you, then it says in Ephesians chapter 6 on your worksheet, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against who? Against the satanic forces that are very real in this world. So on the inside, get God's Word and be armored for battle. Let's go to number two. You see, don't give in, be consistent. This takes us from resistant, which is a decision, to consistent, which is an action. Let's pick up in Daniel chapter 1. And then it says in verse 9, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. The commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youth who are your own age? Then that would make me forfeit my head to the king. Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let them be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youth who are eating the king's choice food. And deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed to be better. They were fatter than all the youth. You might want to write in, they were buffed up. They were really buffed up. And they were better than all of the people who ate the king's food. Verse 16, the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine, and he kept them eating vegetables and water. Do you know what this is a picture of? It's a picture of consistent action. And that's what the Lord desires of us. Daniel didn't compromise. He was consistent. Daniel wasn't a hypocrite. He decided to stay pure and holy and live by the standard of the world, not by the standard of God, not by the standard of Babylon. Look at your worksheet. Here's our call from God's Word. 1 Peter says, be obedient, children. Don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Look at Colossians 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, friends, here's how it works. God is calling us not to compromise, but to be consistent in our actions. Be consistent. You've heard it said, some people are like a thermometer. A thermometer simply reflects the temperature of its environment. I don't want to be a thermometer, just reflecting the people I'm around. I want to be a thermostat. Do you know what a thermostat does? A thermostat sets the temperature. It doesn't reflect the temperature. I want to be a Christ follower, not a chameleon. Do you know what a chameleon is? A chameleon is a little lizard, and it has this unique ability to change colors. Whatever environment you set it down on, if you set it down on a piece of brown, it becomes brown. If you set it down on a piece of green grass, it becomes green. Do you know what a scientist did? They set a chameleon down on a multicolored piece of plaid, and it blew up. Oh, ooh, terrible. That's how some people live in this world. They're chameleons. They simply reflect the crowd that they are in. But there's a better way. The better way is the Jesus way. It's to be that consistent Christ follower. And do you know what the key is? Do you know what the key is? It's your partners. You see, you need God's word and you need God's people. Who did Daniel have to fortify his consistency? He had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who's on your team? Curly, Larry, and Mo? Who's on your team? Three saints or three stooges? You see, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. That's why the Bible makes it so clear in Proverbs 13:20, those who walk with the wise grow wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. So align yourself with godly people, and that way your conduct will be consistent. Let's go to number three. Don't give in, be persistent. You see, he was resistant, that was a decision. He was consistent, that's an action. He was persistent, this is production. Do you know what the production or the harvest of his life was? Pick up in verse 17. And as for these four youth, God gave them knowledge, intelligence, and every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel understood all visions and dreams. In the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. Do you know what he's saying here? Look at verse 20. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than the other magicians and conjurers in his realm. In other words, do you know what the result of Daniel's decision was and his consistency? The result was this. He graduated number one in his class. The result was victory and blessing because he resisted the forces of his world. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6, the law of the harvest, what you sow, you will reap. And friends, I want to urge you right now, maybe it's a tough time in your life, maybe you feel like you're in a foreign land, don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due time you will harvest God's victory and God's blessing. Do you know the legacy of Daniel? Fast forward 550 years to Matthew chapter 2. There were three wise men called Magi that came from the land of Persia where Daniel was staying. And they came to see the Savior of humanity. Most scholars believe that they came because of the influence and the legacy and the prophecy deposited in that culture by a man named Daniel. And it all happened because Babylon didn't change Daniel. Daniel changed Babylon. Well, what will be the production of your life? What will be the result of your life? You see, if you will be persistent, if you won't grow weary in well-doing, you will have a great harvest. Quick last story. I was in Tanzania, East Africa, 1988. Spent a three-week mission tour training Maasai pastors, and I happened to be in Dar es Salaam for the last 3 days of Doug and Evelyn Knapp's IMB mission service. Doug and Evelyn, they were farmers. Doug went to Florida State. He was going to be a county agent. God captured his heart. Instead, he went to Tanzania, and he showed people how to use good farming techniques to raise rabbits and better goats and improve their life. But the result is it became a platform for sharing Jesus. And Doug Knapp, in his amazing book, Thunder in the Valley, chronicles how he baptized 53,000 people personally. And he started 323 indigenous churches, catalyzing a church planting movement. This is a farmer from Florida. He's not seminary graduated. And I said, Doug, Evelyn, at the end of your term, how did it happen? He said two things, prayer and persistence. We prayed about everything, and we persistently conquered the problems we encountered. And that's God's call to you. Dare to be different. Dare to be a Daniel. Persistently stand for Christ. Persistently stay in His Word. Persistently surround yourself with hot-hearted Jesus people, and the result will be victory and blessing. Fill in the last blank. And the last blank is simple. Get started. How do you get started? You surrender control. You say, Lord Jesus, in this flooded, muddy, out of control world, I surrender control of my life to you. And you do that when you pray. So let's pray together. Oh, precious Father, we don't want to be changed by this world. We want to be your world changers. So seal this message to our hearts so that we, like Daniel, can be resistant, consistent, and persistent for you. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed by your Spirit and your Word. And we promise, Father, that we will not be fickle. We'll be faithful and serve you with our best. And may that start even today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.